Alrighty, literature class. So we don't have many people, but that's okay. I was thinking how this is, about day 30 or whatever it feels like in your bat. So I'm gonna try not to be boring and hopefully keep it interesting. So to see if literature has made an impact on you, can you tell me where this is coming from? What grades do you teach? Do you teach? Okay, and you? What's that? Oh, okay, that's good. Maybe you will. Maybe you remember it from school. I don't know. Some of this will hit in the background. Give me the context for I'll not have it snowing. And the reply was something like, you think you're the... No, the reply before that is, you think you're the man said, it's going to snow today. What, you think you're the boss of the universe? So I'm misquoting. And the fella said, and then a little later in the same story, he goes, I'll not have it snowing. The same one who thought he was. Right. Hazen Kinch, remember him? Right? Great piece of literature, right? That phrase, I've heard that phrase, I'll not have it snowing, used after someone was probably 15 years out of school. I was sitting in somebody's office one time, and it looks like it's going to snow. I'll not have it snowing. He didn't even care if it snowed. It was just a recall, right? Let's try, the Lord is my shepherd. Right. Is that a piece of literature? Sure it is. Excellent piece. This is one thing I think what really struck me on this one is I was listening to, I think it was great courses on, I guess it was literature, something like that. And they're going to read this piece and we're going to talk about it. And it was a Bible story. And I think we do the Bible and maybe in Christianity a disfavor when we just got another story to read. This stuff is huge. If someone tells you not to be a Scrooge, what's the context? Charles Dickens, Ebenezer Scrooge. Do you know what's happening when they tell you that? Do you know what to not be? Stingy and selfish and heartless and all these things, right? See what literature does for us. It gives us, with one word, if you're walking and doing whatever you're doing and somebody calls you a Scrooge, they took care of a whole bunch of explanations of what they thought about you, right? Now, remember, Scrooge is redeemable. So it's not all bad. At least you aren't a permanent, right? This one I love to tell my students is, I try to be nicer than, they're trying to figure something out, and I'll say, look! And they think that's kind of funny. Sounds like I'm upset. I'm not, but I act that way. What's it for?
The great teacher's method.
Yes, the great teacher's method, right? And that's what he did. I just forget where I read this. I read this in some other story about a professor, what was his name? Agassiz, I don't know if I'm pronunciation right. I was reading it in some of the context, and someone wrote something down, and they said, I was a student under Professor Agassiz. I was reading the storybook to him, and I'm like, hey, who's that? I guess he's real, based on that story. I didn't research that, man. That was kind of neat. Anyway, if you're a good Samaritan, quite obviously referring to, you're saying what about him? You're referring to what piece of literature? The Good Samaritan, right? It is what it is, right? Luke 15. That story involves what? Racism? Right? Attempted murder? Right? That's kind of a... I don't know if you should read that to your students. It's a little much. You follow what I'm saying, though? I think the Bible sometimes gives you some guidelines on what to read to your student. No, the Bible does give you guidelines, and I think some of these stories give you some real practical how to decides, right? Now, it does not, that Good Samaritan story, I had a student who would pass out at the sight of blood. I found that out. I did not know that until I found it out. A student hurt their finger, went out to get a Band-Aid, and another student on assignment was going out to get something also. I think we were cleaning or something, so it's kind of around, and the student comes roaring back in. This girl's laid out flat on the floor. But I can read that story, and I didn't have her pass out. So my point being, it's a balance there. Yes, that's that. If I draw a picture, if I could draw, and I draw a picture of the Good Samaritan happening, she would have been out flat if I was any good at it, right? Because that would have been a terrible sight. But the Bible kind of cuts it to where it's okay. A person that passed outside his blood is okay. That it's not too graphic. Anyway. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. I actually read this book to my students. Took a lot of stopping. Okay, now, see what's happening here? I don't even know something, still got it. Animal Farm, George Orwell. Read it. If you want to have a sarcastic view of all mankind from henceforth and forevermore, maybe. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Yeah, Tale of Two Cities. It starts with that one, right? That whole paragraph is just beautiful. I don't quite know what it means, and I've never read the full book for disclosure. This one I wouldn't have gotten, but I you know, you know the book maybe, but this phrase I think is kind of the theme of the book. So if you can get it, good for you. I wanted you to see what real courage is. This is a man talking to his daughter. I wanted you to see what real courage is. Instead of getting the idea that courage is a man with a gun in his hand, it's when you know you're licked before you begin, but you begin anyway, and you see it through no matter what. You rarely win, but sometimes you do. He was starting out with something he believed in his heart was right, even though he knew he was going to lose. Which, is, by the way, is a really that's what life is about. You're licked before you start. We're going anyway. To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus Finch, he was a lawyer for the black man who he knew would be convicted, but he knew it was right. I didn't say I read that with my students, by the way, but I'd like to find a way to make it work. I don't know. I haven't done that yet. How about this? Did you see the birdie, Daddy?
You're right. <about a dozen. laughs>
You know that one better than... we need to know. Yes. I didn't say I read that with my students either, because they all read it already. Is that a piece of literature?
3 hours
away. Okay. Depends what time we have. I want to talk about what actually is it. And maybe if there was enough of people, we'd have enough of opinions that we could go all day on that one. But instead, what we're going to do is take your story evaluation sheet. For the 9th and 10th graders with their perspectives from CLE, I give them this sheet for each of their stories. I started doing it when I had at least a student, this happens to some degree, but this student particularly, we'd get halfway through some of the questions, and you could see him going, oh, I didn't know this happened. Sunshine, read your story. But it wasn't entirely that. It was, he didn't comprehend the stuff that wasn't being said, I think is what was happening. So I started giving him this story. This evaluation sheet, and said, here, fill this out when you read the story, and I don't grade the thing, but what it did is it sort of helped us kind of all go the same direction, because what would happen is you'd be going through this multiple choice question, and they're a great question, and then you kind of get a, well, yeah, I put this down, but no, I don't like it. Now, the only thing I don't like about this story is it, at the same time, tunnels everybody down the same cattle chute, and so sometimes I feel like we don't get quite as much variety of opinion, kind of. So I'm pretty general on some of these. But anyway, so what I like to do is I'm going to read you a story. I know this is not quite fair because the students can read the story and go back and forth, but you be ready for some answers. Fair enough. I know this isn't quite fair. You might say, oh, I can't remember what this was, but at least a practice run. The title is Thank You, Ma'am by Langston Hughes. She was a large woman with a large purse that had everything in it but hammer and nails. It had a long strap, and she carried it slung across her shoulder. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and she was walking alone when a boy ran up behind her and tried to snatch her purse. The strap broke. With a single tug, the boy gave it from behind. But the boy's weight and the weight of the purse combined caused him to lose his balance, so instead of taking off full blast as he had hoped, the boy fell on his back on the sidewalk, and his legs flew up. The large woman simply turned around and kicked him square right in his blue jean sitter. Then she reached down, picked the boy up by his shirt front, and shook him until his teeth rattled. Anyone know this story? You do? Okay. So you have a little unfair advantage of figuring this out. That's all right. That's great if no one heard it, because But that's fine. All right. After that, the woman said, "Pick up my pocketbook, boy, and give it here." She still held him, but she bent down enough to permit him to stoop and pick up her purse. Then she said, "Now, ain't you ashamed of yourself?" Firmly gripped by his shirt front, the boy said, "Yes'm." The woman said, "What did you want to do it for?" The boy said, "I didn't aim to." She said, "You a lie!" By that time, two or three people passed, stopped, turned to look, and some stood watching. "If I turn you loose, will you run?" asked the woman. "Yes'm," said the boy. "Then I won't turn you loose," said the woman. She did not release him. "I'm very sorry, lady. I'm sorry," whispered the boy. "Uh-huh, and your face is dirty. I got a great mind to wash your face for you. Ain't you got nobody home to tell you to wash your face?" "No, ma'am," said the boy. "Then it'll get washed this evening," said the large woman, starting up the street, dragging the frightened boy behind her. He looked as if he were 14 or 15, frail and willow wild in tennis shoes and blue jeans. The woman said, "You'll be my son. I'd teach you right from wrong. Least I can do right now is wash your face. Are you hungry?" "No," said the being dragged boy. "I just want you to turn me loose." "Was I bothering you when I turned that corner?" asked the woman. "No, ma'am." "But you put yourself in contact with me," said the woman. If you think that contact is not going to last a while, you've got another thought coming. When I get through with you, sir, you are going to remember Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones." Sweat popped out on the boy's face, and he began to struggle. Mrs. Jones stopped, jerked him around in front of her, put a half Nelson about his neck, and continued to drag him up the street. When she got to her door, she dragged the boy inside, down a hall, and into a large kitchenette-furnished room at the rear of the house. She switched on the light and left the door open. The boy could hear the other roomers laughing and talking in the large house. Some of their doors were open, too, so he knew he and the woman were not alone. The woman still had him by the neck in the middle of the room. She said, "What's your name?"
"Roger," answered the boy.
"Then, Roger, you go to that sink and wash your face," said the woman, whereupon she turned him loose at last. Roger looked at the door, looked at the woman, looked at the door, and went to the sink. "Let the water run till it gets warm," she said. "Here, it's a clean towel."
"You gonna take me to jail?" asked the boy, bending over the sink.
"Not with that face. I wouldn't take you anywhere," said the woman. "Here, I'm trying to get home to cook me a bite to eat, and you snatch my pocketbook. Maybe you ain't been to your supper either, late as it is, have you?"
"There's nobody home at my house," said the boy.
"Then we'll eat," said the woman. "I believe you're hungry, or been hungry. Try to snatch my pocketbook."
"I want a pair of blue suede shoes," said the boy.
"Well, you'd have to snatch my pocketbook to get some suede shoes," said Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones. "Could have asked me."
"Ma'am?" The water dripping from his face, the boy looked at her. There was a long pause, a very long pause. After he dried his face and not knowing what else to do, and dried it again, the boy turned around, wondering what next. The door was open. He could make a dash for it down the hall. He could run. The woman was sitting on the daybed. After a while, she said, "I were young once, and I wanted things I could not get." There was another long pause. The boy's mouth opened. Then he frowned, but not knowing, he frowned. The woman said, "You thought I was going to say, but, didn't you? You thought I was going to say, but I didn't snatch the people's pocketbooks." "Well, I wasn't going to say that." Pause. Silence. "I've done things, too, which I could not tell you, son, neither tell God if you didn't already know. So you sit down here while I fix us something to eat. You might run that comb through your hair so you look presentable." In another corner of the room, behind a screen, was a gas plate and an icebox. Mrs. Jones got up and went behind the screen. The woman did not watch the boy to see if he was going to run now, nor did she watch her purse, which was left behind on the daybed. But the boy took care to sit on the far side of the room where he thought she could easily see him out of the corner of her eye, if she wanted to. He did not trust that woman not to trust him, and he did not want to be mistrusted now. "You need somebody to go to the store," said the boy, "maybe to get some milk or something?" "Don't believe I do," said the woman, "unless you want some sweet milk yourself. I was going to make cocoa out of this canned milk I got here." That'll be fine," said the boy.
She heated some lima beans and ham she had in the icebox, made the cocoa, set the table. The woman did not ask the boy anything about where he lived, or his folks, or anything else that would embarrass him. Instead, as they ate, she told him about her job in a hotel beauty shop that stayed open late, what the work was like, and how all kinds of women came in and out, blondes, redheads, and Spanish. Then she cut him half of her 10-cent cake. "Eat some more, son," she said. When they were finished eating, she got up and said, "Now here, take this $10 and buy yourself some blue suede shoes. And next time, do not make the mistake of latching onto my pocketbook nor nobody else's, because shoes come by devilish like that will burn your feet. I've got to get my rest now, but I wish you would behave yourself, son, from here on in." She led him down the hall to the front door and opened it. "Good night. Behave yourself, boy." she said, looking out into the street. The boy wanted to say something else other than, "Thank you, ma'am," to Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones, but he couldn't do it, and as he turned to the barren stoop and looked back at the large woman in the door, he barely managed to say, "Thank you," before she shut the door, and he never saw her again. Title.
Thank you, ma'am.
And author?
Langston Hughes.
What type of conflict? So, multiple choice gives you three. Main character versus another person, main character versus his or herself, and the main character versus her circumstances.
Main character versus another person?
Main character versus another person. Yes, no, maybe. Oh. Are you sure?
Or at least I should say that was my first impulse.
Could be circumstances.
Poverty? Okay. You done?
I'm not sure if this applied at all, but the book changes. So in a sense, it's happening himself too. But I'm not sure if he's the main character. That's what I was struggling with.
Ah, so we need to go. See, we got to go to some of the others, then we'll come back to some of that. Every single story, almost without fail, is a conflict between you and yourself, right? The choice to do right, the choice to do wrong. But it's not. I mean, I don't think that's the right answer always, is it? This question, I have a hard time knowing sometimes, because everybody has conflict within themselves, pretty much. So someone comes and tries to steal a purse. Well, it's his own evil nature. And so you can almost make every single thing versus himself. And I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. So I agree with you that versus another person, but there's a pretty strong battle in this story against himself, too. So what is the answer? I'm not sure. I don't know that I told you I don't count these wrong. This is the whole point of this thing, to kind of analyze what's going on. But we need to figure out who the main character is. Oh, I missed that. What am I doing here? I'm sorry. My bad. Name the main character.
Luella Bates Washington Jones.
Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones? Yes, no, maybe.
That's what I have. She was the first person mentioned in the story.
Okay. How do you decide? We obviously have two people and then a few peripherals, but how do you decide? I think if you're going to have ask him this, you're going to have to give him some method to figure it out.
Usually, it's introduced in the first paragraph.
All right. And they both are. So, no help there. Sorry.
Yeah?
Can you have two main characters? Here's my theory. And this is the best I've come up with ever, is who changes? Because if nobody goes through a crisis, it's not a story, it's a description, right? Or an essay, right? Is that fair? Okay, you're going to think, well, there's this one, I know, but is that a general principle that'll work? Whoever goes through a crisis is the main character. Because if you took this boy away, and you just had her walking home, what kind of story was that? Well, I know, but you take her away and he just, I know, so you can't quite go by that. My theory is whoever changes. That's kind of when they're like, well, how do we decide? That's what I tell them. Who went through a crisis and came out the other side, either worse or better or something. She was constant. That's my argument for why he is the main character. You don't have to like it. Then they're like, well, I have to change my second answer quick. Yeah, that's fine. That's why this is a class discussion thing. Secondary characters, I group them all together. I know there's minor and, you know, all kinds of categories. For what we're trying to do for here, for this kind of thing, I don't see a lot of point in dissecting that. I've not found value in that. Maybe. But the first secondary character obviously is... All right, the woman, if we're calling the boy the main character. All right, who else? I chase him down after this one. Get me every other not major character.
Yeah.
There was other people in her house. They calls them, again, you can't see it and look back, so I understand why. I'm not trying to pick on you, but he calls them other boarders, which means it's a boarding house, right? Not her other children in that case. Okay? Oh, I guess I don't know if they're children, but they're not hers. It doesn't sound that way, right? Who else? People stopped to watch the show that started it, right? So some people stopped, some people, what did it say? Where is it? Two or three people passed, stopped, turned to look, and some stood watching. All right, is there any more? And I get a few students who'll say things like, the pocketbook? Yeah, that's true. And I think what started that, and I don't remember the story. Well, yeah, let's go this. Hayes and Kinch, remember that story? The man, the snow, all the stuff, if you read that one. The main characters, who are main characters other than people?
The weather.
The weather is a major part of it. It's not a character, I know, but they like to see what else they can come up with sometimes. The weather and something else that is actually alive. If you want to come in, you may.
The horse.
The horse is a main character, is it? Kind of-ish, right? So there's stuff like that. You know, this dog is a main character. There shall come soft rains. The dog is a main character. That one, I'd almost make him put the dog down, right? Where the house, the bomb blows up and all that stuff. I'd almost tell him, you gotta have the dog down. I mean, because then we're going to argue about what the dog was looking for, right? People or food. That'd be worth stopping right now and figuring that out, because I don't know if you understand the right answer or not. I have students that do not agree still to this day. I had students in one reading lesson that they went home. They remembered it from 2 years ago because they were in seventh grade and their eighth grade siblings came home and talked about it, and they went home and found they were arguing at the supper table before that day to try to, well, 2 years ago you said, I have no idea what I said 2 years ago, so that doesn't count. All right, now, the main theme or lesson of the story. If it doesn't have a lesson, it's not a good story. Is that true? Kind of. There are stories that are just plain fun to read. So, but I think this, every literature thing you study at school, I think has a lesson. Unless it's a descriptive essay. Even those do some, but it's not the idea. So what can we learn? Don't steal purses. Would you be okay with that? For fourth graders, fifth graders, maybe, you know, yeah, sure, don't steal purses. I hope can we see some more things beyond that? And I don't make them pick, okay, everybody's got to have this one answer. You know, what's some things to pick out? And I'd be okay with that. Yeah, don't steal purses. Can you think a little bit further than that, though?
She was showing love rather than discipline. I mean, get what I mean?
Rather than punishment. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. That's a great one. Her response to his crime, and she immediately went back behind the actual problem. And you got nobody at home to get you supper or whatever she asked? No, got nobody at home. He probably didn't have a home, right? Or something. Not much of one if he did, right? That kind of thing. Good. So I think, okay, we just said he was the main character maybe. I think she taught the lesson to us though, right? More so. I think she was the one, and that's okay. I don't think there's any problem with that. What else? Other lessons, ideas?
Stealing doesn't work out.
Stealing?
The long-term things.
Yeah, no long-term plan there. Maybe we'll get into this. Well, let's talk about it now, just in case I forget. She said at the end, I wanted things too when I was your age that I couldn't get. And she left it hang for a little bit. And she said, you thought I was going to say, but I didn't snatch people's purses. I didn't say that, is what she said, right? Is that just because she couldn't honestly say it? Maybe. I don't know. But I think there's a lesson there, too, isn't there? Okay, I doubt your eighth graders are going to get that lesson. But I think as you as teachers, as us teachers, there's a huge lesson there. You ever have You ever have people, man, at our age, we never, I mean, when I was your age, I never did stuff like this. A parent told my wife that recently. My husband and I, neither of us did this kind of stuff that our children are doing. Maybe? I don't know. I'm not around their children. I wasn't around them all their lives. I don't know. Really? Someone also told me grandpas are really forgetful sometimes. And I think if you've taught a couple years, remember that when your co-teacher comes in there and is doing all this dumb, weird, goofing up, not figuring stuff out. Yeah, you were there too. Just be patient. Be patient. It's okay. It's embarrassing when I think of what I still do, let alone have done, right? So I think there's a big lesson in that, but that's more for an authority. I don't think I don't think as an eighth grader I would have thought of that. I think kind of like, I don't know, I guess, I don't know what would have made as much sense. Any more themes, lessons? All right. Character traits of the main character and evidence of the characteristic. So if we're going with a boy, what are some character traits? And the evidence, I mean, like, how do you know that? Not, he was nice. Yeah, what does that mean? Like, where was he nice that you decided that? That kind of thing. But what are some character traits?
He wanted to be trusted, wanted a second chance, even after he had tried to steal the purse.
He was not a hardened criminal, right? He pretty quickly responded to kindness as it was, right? It doesn't look like average kindness if my mom would have treated me that way. I don't think I would have thought it was kindness, but on that same thing, and kind of along with characteristic, sometimes students have a hard time deciding what a characteristic is versus just a situation maybe, but along with that characteristic is, that's probably all he could respond to. If he grew up on the streets, I'm guessing he did, kind of, or at least partly, someone sitting down and saying, let's have a conversation and let's do a little bit of counseling for you, I don't think that would have registered. Not for a while, right? So probably that kind of approach is about what he needed to get him with it. All right, any more characteristics, character traits?
He was ragged, hungry, and desperate. It led him to steal.
And I would ask them if that's a character trait. Sorry, I'm not trying to, you know, but this is one thing I think you want to, I would suggest, at least I think I try to, okay, there's a difference between, and yeah, they'll bring that stuff up, and I think that's, and we can talk about it, right? That's why it's not a right or wrong. Hold on, being ragged, does being ragged make you a thief? Oh, no, hold on here, that's not a character trait. The ragged part, the being a thief is, you know, sort that out, because we can be that way, right? I sat on an airplane coming here beside someone who I decided what they do a lot of at home. By what did you figure that out? I judged him. And that was not helpful to anyone or necessary. I shouldn't have done that. It wasn't useful. Because I saw what they looked like and some things they did and the way they would hold their head. And I thought, I assigned a pretty low IQ. And that was not, anyway, you see what I'm saying? We tend to associate this, ragged, thief, right? Didn't wash his face. Well, that applies to boys in general, right? You know there's a special name for boys who do not like to wash their face? Dirty. That doesn't apply to anything. All right, any more quickly? I think we got it. Okay, most of your literature stories are longer than this, so you have a lot more stuff to see, but we've only got so much time. How does the story resolve? First of all, does it resolve? Well, we don't know what happened. That's why it's a good story. If it would have taken you down and here's where he ended up, is that any fun? Number one, it'd be a book-length thing, so that wouldn't work. Did it resolve? But from what we can see, how did this particular piece resolve?
He went from trying to take something without asking to being thankful. I'm not sure if that's quite the realization.
Mm-hmm. He also sat where he thought she could see him if he wanted to. Went from thief to, I'm going to avoid all appearance of evil, right? Which we already said, obviously he wasn't a real hardened criminal. So there is some stories that feels like it doesn't resolve, but in your mind, it says, you're rooting for this boy, right? When did you start, this isn't really a question, but when did you start rooting for him? When did you say, yes, come on, get your life in order? First you root for her, right? He deserved a kick. Yeah, drag him down the street, shake him till his teeth rattle, and whatever else it says. After a while, you start rooting for him, right?
After he's cleaned up, maybe.
After he's washed up, you like it better then, right? Point of view for the story. By the way, what's first person?
I.
Where I am seeing things, the author. See, what's tricky is you have an I story, and then they say you say who the author is, and they'll say the author that's up. I mean, who the main character is, they'll say that person's name. It isn't always, but whatever. It's not a big deal, probably. Because the I in the story is not always the name of the person, I don't think. I think there's a story, I forget what it is, that it's like, no, that person didn't have this happen to him. I'm pretty sure because of time frames or something. But first person is when I see this, and I went over here, right? Other people can have things happen, but you gotta, it's like you are the person ready, right? Second person is, third person is, he or she, just like third person pronouns, but you have to, it's like you're right behind this person, following them around, watching everything they watch, right? And omniscient, and there's other categories under here, but I don't get complicated for this. Omniscient is what?
All-knowing.
You're looking at it from above, and you can go over there and watch them and say what's happening two towns away, right? At the same time. All right, so this is can't go back and look over, but third person, right? Oh, but I hold on here. It says, the boy said, I didn't aim to. It has I right there. Okay, you have to explain. No, 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 not just because he it's quoting what he said. It's not I telling the story, right? Yes, third person. What were your feelings towards the main character? The reason I have main idea there is because there's a few, like the There Shall Come Soft Rains where the house blows up. And the main character is the house, and sometimes the main idea is makes more sense to them. What were your feelings toward them? And the point is, are you into the story, right? Or is this some here we go kind of? How did you feel about it? Or sometimes they'll sit there and go, oh, I don't know how I felt. Okay, positive or negative? Did you like the main character, or did you despise him?
I think
it changed. There you go, and that's okay. I mean, I just got done saying it a minute ago. I should save that for this, right? Did you like him at the beginning?
I wasn't sure.
You just stole somebody's purse. Poor ladies, working hard, going home. Okay. Did you like him at the end? You wanted him to succeed, right? I've had stories like this sometimes as a student. They come out at interesting spots. That person deserves to be whatever. He doesn't deserve a second chance. I forget what the story was. I think some baggage in that person's life has made them harsh. I felt like it kind of came popping out when we had this kind of thing. Now, I know this isn't the main character, but what about the other major character, the woman? Did you like her or not? You wanted to like her? Is that what kind of woman? You aren't sure if you do? Okay, why not?
She was just harsh.
Okay.
But she did have a soft heart.
In the long run, she wanted what was right. You know, kind of, especially right at first. I mean, she just went after this fella, right? I can see that. You read it two or three times and you start knowing how it works out, you start to hate her less, I think. Because you see that her method did work for him. So I think after a while, I kind of am okay with her more. And that's the thing that varies. This one, I like the next question. What did you learn about other people that seem strange to us? What are some things that, hey, that's kind of different? Helps kind of wake them up to what stuff is. Or another phrase that some people put in this kind of question is, what are some words or phrases you didn't know what meant? There's a phrase in here, sorry, you might have seen if you read it. There's a word in here that I never knew until I looked it up with the story. I didn't know what it meant. She put him in a half Nelson. What's that? You know what that is? It's a wrestling hold. Basically, you want to demonstrate it? Come up here and I'll grab you around the neck. That's a half Nelson, as if I understood the dictionary and didn't see it. And I'm not into wrestling, so I don't know. But that's my point, right? So that's the kind of things I want them to say. Do wait, the what? Put him in a half Nelson? Is that his name? You know, Nelson is his name. We got half of him. What's going on here? So figure out, find some stuff like that. Because students will just read over stuff, and they don't know what it means. Some people can, and they're in a hurry, whatever. All right, anything else that's not normal to our situation? Where did she get her food? She pulled her food out of the what? The ice box. What's that? We got that ice machine in our fridge. Is that what that is? What is an ice box?
Old-fashioned refrigerator.
It's an old refrigerator. And I think, and I don't know what era this is. That's what, oh, I keep missing questions. I'm sorry. I need to do better at following my own stuff. Icebox tells you a little bit what age of the story it is. That's a hint for that. They used to have like a semi-insulated box. They put ice on the top right and put food down below. Anything else about what other people did that is unusual for us? You could have things like they lived in a house with boarders. Most of us don't live in a boarding house. Where I board at my house, but that's probably different. That kind of compares, but that's probably different if you board somewhere away from home. That's probably not there. That's what me and what they're going to think about. All right, time period. This one, sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. Take a wild guess, because they're calling it an ice box and a fireplace. What do they call that thing where she cooked the food? And remember? It was something else. Where is it now? Sorry, can't find it now. So, a wild guess, because we don't have anything better than a wild guess.
Early 1900s.
Sounds logical. They had gas pumped in from that gas plate, I think. Yeah, gas plate, they called it. The little stove, kind of a gas stove thing. So they had gas in there. So, and this has helped them kind of analyze. You know, okay, he was driving an old Model T. When was a Model T invented? Or they had this. Oh, you can figure, you know, they'll say, well, you don't know, kind of like 1800s or maybe, you know, I don't know. Oh, no, hold on. He had this thing. And that's great when students, I checked. This was invented in this one. That's great, right? Where? Earth. Yeah, I know. Good. Let's narrow it down. America. They talked English. Yeah, but it could be translated. So I would say probably. American city. I'm going to go with that. Oh, it could be in England. Yeah, it could be. Did they use English? Did they speak in any? Did they speak in an English accent? I can't tell that. But it sounds Americanized enough. Like they didn't. You know, if they use British-sounding words, like definitions, well, then keep that in mind. Biblical truth. This often is the same thing as the theme. But biblical truth that you could learn. Sure, your sin will find you out. There's different things, like we talked about. You know, thou shalt not steal. That works. You know, those kind of things. Train up a child in the way he shall go. That wasn't happening. That's a lesson. This is what happens when you don't. All right. Thank you for that. We got to quit in a couple minutes, right? Okay. It's fine. Why should you do it? For the love of it. To see other people's craft. Be informed. Be inspired. Be entertained. Is that okay to read for entertainment? Absolutely. Please do. Now, if it's foolishness, but I think sometimes we think everything we read has to be so deep. Yes, it should be, but sometimes it's just for good interest. To think things through, to teach truths, to turn facts or truths into practical examples. Especially you're dealing with children, but adults, we love stories too. You ever sit in a, you know, some church or service, or kind of like we're having like in this morning or something, and hey, there was that time that, and everybody whoop, wakes up again. It's great. What did the prophet Nathan do when King David sinned? He came and did what? Told a story, and he got David's anger all up. Ah, this is awful! Oh, it was awful, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought so. Students one time did something that I told them was kind of like gambling. No, we weren't gambling. said, that's what it kind of looks like to me. I'm not accusing you of being a gambler, but I'm just pointing out that, hey, I said, here's your punishment. I don't know if I said that. This is what you need to do. You read a story from that CLE Perspectives book and sign your name at the paper you wrote it. That's it. What story was it? Do you remember the something about it, though? It's in the Perspectives of Truth. Oh, yeah, right. But the fellow went to visit his old friend. They were sliding nickels across the concrete to see who'd get close to the crack, and he kept it. And that fellow said, all right. I can't think of it either. I told him, you read that story. That's it. That's all. I hope that was somewhat effective. I mean, took care of our problem, because I think they were kind of horrified that I still told them they're gambling. I don't know. But, you know, deal with it. Broaden your worldview, increase your comprehension, your fluency, produce empathy for other people. There are forms of literature that you can find, short stories, nonfiction, poetry. Poetry is great. I don't know what we're going to do here at Poetry Time, so I don't want to steal anything, but poetry is a great thing to make it stick. How many of the Psalm of Life? Can you quote at least the first line or two? Tell me not, in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream for the soul. I don't have a memory. Life, for the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Do you know the other version of that? Life is real, life is earnest, and the shell is not its pen. Egg thou art, and egg remainest, was not spoken of the hen. Art is long, and time is fleeting. Be our bills then sharpened well, and not like muffled drums beating on the inside of the shell. In the world's broad field of battle, in the great barnyard of life, be not like those lazy cattle. Be a rooster in the strife. Lives of roosters all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and when roasted, leave behind us hen tracks on the sands of time. Hen tracks that perhaps another chicken dripping in the rain, some forlorn and henpecked brother when he sees you shall crow again. I've had students months later comment about being a rooster in the strife. I thought that was just for fun because we're studying poetry, and I mean, I got to illustrate it somehow. I'm going to just pull one for fun. This is fun. Huh, be a rooster in the strife. You can remember that one, right? Be not like dumb driven cattle. Be a rooster in the strife, right? Okay, is that the only two good lines? Oh, maybe, but it associates, and that's why I think if you can entertain them with good truth, I think there's some value there, because if you make it too drab and dry, that's not going to work. Another category is dramas. If you can get a story that you can have people read different voices in, and if you can have students that are not shy, and that'll make the voice interesting, the better yet. You don't come across them, you know, teenagers are shy, and that's a good thing, more or less. And there's all kinds of folk literature, like myths and folk tales. What makes it good? Well, let me just give you some ideas, perhaps. What sort of things are? Think on these things, right? Go down the list. True, honest, a good report, and all those things. That's a great way to do that. But can you read things about things that aren't true? Can you read, no, I'm not saying fiction or nonfiction, but can you read about people telling lies? Well, where does it come out? That's your thing. Does it glorify this, or does it report on facts? So, well, we don't want to read about war. Sorry about your history book. That's some pretty big chunks. But are we glorifying that? Are we, you know, those kind of things. So decide where it goes. I would suggest, is it making fun of evil and other things, or is it that... is it making light of vices? Is it kind of joking about them? And that one can be hard to know how that works sometimes. Uncle Tom's Cabin, there is a tremendous amount of evil in that book, as in writing about evil things happening. But it comes around. Uncle Tom says, I just think I love everybody. Make sure you read that too. Don't miss that part for sure, because that's the point. Read literature aloud. Help students to read it aloud. You're going to have to illustrate it well if you're going to read it aloud and read it usefully. Has literature ever changed your life? Is it that important that it's changed your life? Have you heard the story of the old rugged cross? Has that changed your life? Absolutely. I assume, yes, it has. It can. Is every literature story going to change their lives that much? No. But is it going to have some impact on them? I hope so. Clear, concise writing on a stop sign has saved your life, but good writing has hopefully improved your life. Has literature ever changed history? Harriet Beecher Stowe's family claimed, I haven't found anywhere that they verify this true, that Abe Lincoln met her. Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin and said, "So you're the little lady that started the big war." Is that true? I don't know. Did it have an impact? It seemed to have some impact. Literature has affected history sometimes. So maybe you've got Harriet Beecher Stowe sitting in your class. Don't disappoint us. Use literature throughout various things as you teach, various subjects. In science, when you're studying stars, and they're so bored of stars, read what story? The Night the Stars Came Out. Right? Read that story? What if the stars would come only out once in 1,000 years? And has this huge elaborate thing about what people would do if it came out once in 1,000 years. And then at the end it says, but tonight the stars are all going to come out and you're going to sit in your house and just read your newspaper. The lesson is, hey, that's a great story to read. You could read that for story time right before science, right? It's things like that. Hey, what would I do if this was unusual? I'd go out and look, right? So there's all kinds of places to put it. Stories are a great way to teach, you know, math facts. I had a teacher that was telling us in first grade that she met a man with his fingers cut off. How do you think he added his numbers? Oh, I guess by learning to do the facts. Yeah, that's what you got to do too. Right, stories. Tell stories.